Hi, hi, hi! Welcome to Bye Bye Bye! I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And we're back for another week of hijinks and whatever. I don't know if we have a theme.
Whatever,
I don't know if we
underlined.
Have questions. I don't know what's going on this week.
We're going off the cuff. Which is...
Off the cuff. Oh, is another off the cuff? Oh, shit.
Schism 2.0.
It's getting to our brand. It's getting to be our brand. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's very true. I've probably got a few questions. I've got questions to ask, actually, because I am going out tonight, actually out of the house to a bar to meet a friend and
Whoa.
Have drinks and be social, and I'm terrified. I am terrified. Have you guys ever gone out before? What are you supposed to do? I can't remember. Am I just required to sit and have a drink and talk to people? Am I allowed to have my phone with me? I don't know what's going on.
Try to find subjects other than your current hyperfixation.
Oh, fuck.
You know, I don't think note cards are amiss here.
I need
put
them.
In an earpiece
so
and we can feed you lines.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it could be like a heist movie. It's
what is that play where the guy standing
yeah,
in the
I know what you're talking about, but I cannot think of it
Cyrano
for the life of me.
There
you go, yeah,
Bergerac.
Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah. Cyrano de Bergerac. Or Roxanne as the modern day version.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That'd be so. It'd be so cool if we could arrange that somehow. Can I get an iPod? What do they call the pod? The earphones for pods. But I'm actually going. I'm going out with a friend who I like and get on with and stuff. You know, so
you're
not
even
like it's
going out
be,
with your husband.
No. If I was going out with my husband, it'd be fine. He's used to me. He knows that I just don't do it very well. It's so cool. Also, I mean, we live together and we actually have stuff to talk about. I mean, my friend is lovely and we do have lots of stuff to talk about, but I'm just a bit worried that she thinks I'm a party animal and I'm so not.
Well, I'm sure once you start getting drowsy at about 7 p.m. or whatever, then...
Well, that's where we're meeting at 7 p.m.
Yeah,
I'm going to be drowsy
so
before
when,
I even
when
get
you
there.
Show up already tired. I think she'll know you're not a party animal.
I mean, if you are a party animal, I want to go to your parties.
Slumber party.
It's the type of animal that I am when I'm a party animal. I'm a sloth.
Party sloth.
But yeah, it's so funny because we arranged to do this about a couple of weeks ago. We're like, oh, we need to go out because we met up at a conference. It was really great. We had a great time. So we should go out when we get back to Sydney because we only ever see each other when we were in different cities. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, we'll go out. And then she sort of texted me and arranged this meeting at a bar in the city. And then she was asking me if there were any gay bars around that we could go to after. And I was like, I haven't been to a gay bar in 24 years. What are you doing? Why are you asking me these things? Why? How did I manage to give you the impression that I was the one who knew what to do in these situations?
Anyway. Arranging
Although
social things ahead of time.
Might be my next request for Claire's Patreon.
Yeah, but God, arranging social things ahead of time is the worst. Because usually when you're arranging it, you're already in that kind of social mood and you're all excited. And then the closer it actually comes, you're like, oh God.
Yes. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Like my roommate from college, we still keep in touch and we'll call each other every once in a while. But I swear to God, I'll be like, yeah, we should call. And then like the day comes and I'm like, oh, I don't want to. And we'll talk for hours and it'll be fine. But I'm just like, I want to die. Some excuse to not do this. Last time I got saved by the fact that she went into labor early. So she's like, we can't have our phone call because I'm going to labor. I was like, hooray. I mean, good for you.
Oh, that's great. No, that's really good. I enjoy the idea that you got out of a social situation by forcing your friend into labor. Oh, yeah. I used to love just hanging around in bars, but I used to hang around bars in large groups and it's just like, I don't know. I've forgotten how to do it. Which is good, probably a good thing. I'm an old mature lady now.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I could take a bar.
Other than wear comfortable shoes and like, you know, go wild.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear the bar boots. Like, that's the other thing that was terrifying me was what to wear because I haven't been, like, we're going to a quite a nice cocktail bar in the city because we're grown ups and we have a little bit of money. We don't have to hang around at the Century Tavern anymore. And she's like, oh, I'm going to wear this. And I'm like, oh God, that means I have to actually dress up too. And this is another layer of stress on top of everything else. So I'm just going to wear the buy boots and build the outfit from that and see what happens.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I mean, boots are pretty like, what's the word I'm looking for? Versatile.
Sturdy.
Versatile.
Sturdy. I can kick people with them if they approach me at the bar, which is good.
If you get into an emergency mosh pit, you're all set.
Yeah. I would quite like to go dancing, but the problem is in Sydney, Sydney is a bit like proto, I don't know. It's how I imagine New York is, in that, you know, you want to go to a bar, you have to line up at a door and get let in by some bouncer, and I'm 42 years old and overweight and grumpy and don't care about makeup, so they're not going to let me in. And if they do, I mean, kudos to them if they do, but I don't want to go to that bar anyway if they're going to judge my appearance on the way in. Thank you very much.
Well, you'll have to update us next week.
I will. I'll send you some selfies.
Perfect. I don't know why I'm laughing. Shall we move on to take a question?
Oh, we do have questions.
We do. I didn't use all of them last week from Tom because we actually ran out of time. Oh,
we did.
And so anyway, Tom from Twitter wants to know, what is the best hour of the day and why? And I cheated. I have an answer prepared, and I'm going to say it's the hour we're doing this podcast.
Oh, aww.
That's nice. So actually, this isn't a bad time for me because it's around 8 p.m. for me, which usually means I'm awake. I kept trying to think of other times, and I was like, mid-afternoon, I'm like, no, that's around when I usually want to take a nap. Like, meal times, I'm hungry. Morning, I'm tired.
I mean, my idea of what time of day is good has varied wildly over the years, but at the moment it's 5 a.m. 5 a.m. is great. Love 5 a.m.
5 a.m. is a nightmare because it means house I've woken is quiet. Up too early and won't be able to get back to sleep.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Me? 5 a.m. for me is like 10 a.m. for you. So when I do visit you, I'd be getting up the same time as you anyway. Like, I'm synced to your time zone and just living in the wrong country. But no, I love 5 a.m. because everyone's still asleep and I can cuddle my dog and listen to my podcasts and pretend that I am alone in the world.
And I need to get up early. I like getting up early because I like getting stuff done while the house is quiet. Mm. I mean, for exactly all those same reasons. But also I like staying up late for the same reason.
I like the idea of getting up early. It's the practice that doesn't work so well.
I just feel really, like, if I wake up and it's at all light outside, I can't stay asleep. Like, there's no, I just can't, I can't do it. And so I just get up. But, it doesn't make any sense at the moment because it's dark at 5 in the morning at the moment. Yeah, so I'm still getting up in the dark. But
yeah, I'm considering investing in blackout curtains for our bedroom. Not even just
because your days are so long.
But sometimes, I wake up in the middle of the night and like different shadows coming in through the windows freak me out.
Oh god, that's
like,
the worst, yeah.
I thought the Loch Ness Monster was in my bedroom for quite a while.
Found it!
I have no idea what was casting the shadow and we couldn't figure it out, so my husband just hung a sheet over the curtain rod over the blinds for a little while.
And when it gets really windy here, yeah, because we've got sort of louvers over the window, which let in quite a bit of light, but not a huge amount. But when it gets really, really windy, there's this massive tree about a block directly opposite us. And it's like it's a huge old gum tree, and it in the wind it tosses around like a maniac, and it's terrifying at night. If the moonlight's behind it, you just go, oh, what the fuck's that? Because it often looks like a monster. So.
Yeah, our backyard's all full of trees, and there's a light back there to cast extra shadows, and God, and we've got so many animals back there, like people need to look up a video of a barred owl. It's called Barred Owl, like B-A-R-R-E-D. It has the most bonkers fucking call. We could not figure out what it was for the longest time. It was like, is it raccoons fighting? Is it coyotes? Because we've got coyotes around here. No, it was a fucking owl, and I would have had no idea, except for somehow
Oh my god.
Those are like the owls from The Secret of Nim.
I'm listening to it now.
Yeah, it sounds fucking bonkers.
Jesus! That's terrifying!
So for the longest time, and we've got, there's a pair that lives in the neighborhood, and they'll call to each other, and like there's a stump in our backyard that one will just sit on, so like close by, just like making this noise,
that's going
and like,
in.
What is happening?
I
didn't
hear audio
anything.
Stuff or post. We'll do that later.
Yeah, we'll fix it later.
She'll do it in post. Air quotes.
I'll do it in post, and we know that I won't. We know that.
That's why we can't do a no cussing episode, because you would have to bleep us out if we did cuss, and we know you're not gonna do that.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I was listening to last week's actually. Sorry, this is still going. And we actually we swear surprisingly little. It's just that when we do swear, it's so
oh yeah,
gross.
We either swear up a storm or we talk like adults of some sort.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, I'm very good at turning it off because my roommate. I almost said my fucking roommate, which proves a point.
Fucking roommate.
In college, she would get so offended by any sort of like cursing. Like, she's the kind of person that would be like, son of a witch and stuff.
Oh my god.
And so I got very, very good at censoring myself. Meanwhile, Travis has not had this experience. So like I can turn that mode on when we're like around small children, because we have a lot of friends with very small children. And meanwhile, he'll be like, this fucking thing. And I'm like, Travis, there's a like 4-year-old present.
Yeah, as you all know, I was teaching for many years, and the problem with teaching the kids that I taught was that they swear all the fucking time. Like, literally, my class, some of the kids in my class, every second word was fuck.
I mean, it is Australia. I think I'd be disappointed otherwise.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, yeah, but these kids were, you know, refugee kids and lower class kids and poor kids and stuff. If you go to that was funny too, because the contrast with the private school, they would swear, but they would not swear in front of the teachers. You'd have to walk past and you'd hear them, and they'd be saying way, way worse things than the kids I taught at the other school. But these kids would swear all the time in front of you, and so you had there was a dichotomy, because you weren't allowed to swear, and you weren't allowed to swear, but they were.
Yeah.
They weren't technically allowed to swear, but they did. So every now and then I would let loose an invective or whatever, and the kids would go, oh, miss, you swore you're allowed to do that. I'm like, where is that rule? Find it, mommy. Just make it work for myself.
Speaking of last week's episode, my husband started listening to the podcast.
So did mine. What was going? Did they collaborate or something? Because Mario was like, "Your sound quality was bad last week. You need to do this." What? What? You were listening? Fuck!
Oh no!
My husband sends me a text. He's like, "No, we came home the other night, and he was like, "What is with all the furry humor in your podcast?" So I had to explain that.
I'm still saying not enough.
Not enough furry humor.
Did you give him a link to the porn?
No. I feel like that might have been a step too far.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering if. Yeah, because I'm wondering if I put the link to the porn up on the Patreon, I might have to make it unpaid.
I lost you.
If I put the link to the cat porn up on the Patreon, I might have to make sure it's access to everyone, because you're not allowed to use AO3 for any monetary.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, so I'll put it up. It'll be. I was going to make it a $10 reward, but you know,
it's catnip. It's catnip to draw people in.
I mean, you could always post it in full on Patreon and make it a locked thing.
I could actually. There's a good idea. Thank you. Yeah. I've got that. That would mean I have to find the original file. God knows where it is. I'm not typing it up again. Although it is only one. No, it's about four chapters long. That'd be a long time for me to type up. I actually did just recently. Speaking of
just copy paste, do it like once a month or something. One more chapter.
Can you copy paste from AO3? You can.
I feel like you can.
The reason why I'm thinking you can't is because this is the story about porn. One of my favorite fandoms put up a great pairing porn, a short piece, which I found and read on my phone. Thank God, I read it on my phone, and it was fantastic, and I loved it, and like I was going back to visit it every now and then. And then they took it down, and I hadn't downloaded it, and I was just like, oh my God, my favorite porn is gone. So I found the cached page on my phone and typed it up on Google Docs so I could go back if I need to.
Wow.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But these days, if I find a good fic, I just go, download straight away. No, you're not going to take this away from me. I love it too much.
I've never downloaded something to read like that. I've never done that.
Yeah, I've literally never.
I didn't even know.
I don't usually bother with archive of my own, but in this case, I was burnt once and I wasn't going to get burnt again.
Burnt on hot thing. Erotica. There's the episode title right there.
Tell me what that was again. I missed it because you were too.
Burnt by hot erotica.
Burnt by hot erotica.
Just as an option.
Well, I usually have three or four written down by the end of the episode. Let's see how we go.
Oh, crap. I had something to segue into there, and then it just, like, fled my head. Oh.
Something to do with.
Oh, actually, it did. It was supposed to circle us back around to a question. Closeted in Canada asks, if you were going to recommend an episode of Bye 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 to start with, which would it be and why? So I also took this question to Facebook and Twitter, and we did get one answer. We did get one answer from Zom, who says, they honestly all work as a starting point, so I'm going to go with my favorite episode, Cornbread Trauma. It speaks to me on a spiritual level because of my long-standing battle against the evil corn curse. Now, I don't know what the evil corn curse is, so Zom, I'm going to need you to email that to us and explain.
Yes.
In explicit detail.
Yeah, we need to know everything. Secrets don't make
That's
friends.
A good one. I did like... I liked You See the Penis. That was one of my favorites, I think.
This assumes I remember literally any individual episodes, which I do not.
Yeah, I can't.
Sorry, guys. Well,
some of them were quite traumatic, so I remember.
There was one that we got really real about mental health, and that was a really good one.
That was a really good one. Yeah. It was one of our early ones.
But I think my favorite is the one where we talked about the bear book.
I have a very weird relationship with that episode. It was very hard to edit. I had to sit next to it, and I had to sit and I think there was an issue with echo in it, so I ended up having to listen to like one section about 15 times. Yeah. And I came away from it a little bit traumatized. But I do think it's a good indication of how bad it can get. So maybe if you want to start at an episode, you should start with that one.
Yeah,
no, I think if you want to get worse, it'd be one of our, like, I don't know. I don't think the content was terrible early on, but it took us a while to get, like, a hold of what the fuck we were doing, like, recording-wise. So I feel like those are probably worse.
That's why the early episodes are going to go on an archive.
Yes, just so you know, guys, that we'll give you a warning, but it'll be like a gradual process. But once we hit episode 50, I'm going to start taking down the early episodes and popping them up on Patreon. And they'll be behind the lowest reward tier, but I figure it's nice to have them tucked away out of sight so you can't hear our, you can't hear our audio sins.
Hey, that's our, really that's our one review on iTunes, is that we're getting better. So.
Yes.
Our only review on iTunes.
Yeah, like, our only. So, you know, if you're listening, go review
us on iTunes.
Yeah, write and review. It'd be nice. Oh, we got a. I'm not going to mention the name of the people who sent the letter, but Brandon got a letter from people who wanted to list us on the top 10 bisexual podcasts. Which is nice. And the list was quite. quite prestigious, but the website that did it is a bit dodgy, so we didn't
give interact. Anything. We didn't interact. We did our due diligence. Because we didn't need all of you to spam.
We don't want you all exposed to spam. But the it was funny because one of the podcasts that they had reviewed had like 860 followers on Twitter and 250 whatever's on Facebook likes, and then ours was 21 Twitter followers.
Ours was 21 and like some of the others were like just thousands, like 2,000 and some likes and follows and.
It's like, oh god, I need to round out this list. Oh, this one's called Bye Bye Bye. It was even funnier because the description was like a one sentence description. I think that was just pulled from the site.
They were all just pulled from the site because I chased down the links of a couple of them to make sure. Like I was committed to checking the legitness.
Mm-hmm. It was bloody obvious. They just done the search for bisexual and we'd come up in the search somehow. I mean, I'm happy that we came up in a search. That's one step towards notoriety, but they hadn't listened, that's for sure. It's nice to know that some people listen, though. Whenever we get a question from Tom or Canada, I have a little warm glow in my tummy.
Yeah. Or like, Zom. Anytime anybody interacts with us, like Tom and Zom are very... Oh, that rhymes. Tom and Zom. They are very interactive with us on the Twitter, and I appreciate that a lot. So I always try to reward their good behavior by mentioning them on this podcast.
I mean, I know for a fact that Tom is also a bisexual, so we have a nice good pool. I think Zom is too.
Yes.
We might have a nice good pool of guest presenters that we can pull in and stuff like that.
No, also, I lost it. I had to sneeze. I mean, it's good I didn't.
Speaking of guests, I might as well just mention this on the air. Jay Burke, our little newly graduated adult bi, would like to guest on the show and talk about writing. As he embarks off to college soon. As he embarks to college
he's
soon.
He's all grown up.
As a creative writing major. So he's so grown up. But
is he going to do creative writing? Is he going to be is it an MFA or an M?
You know what?
No, I know. Because
I didn't actually ask.
No, because he's undergraduate, isn't he? I forgot that you do MFAs afterwards, which is why everyone's so wanky and horrible in them.
Which is a good thing. We can ask him when he guests on this very show.
Yes, yay. We can. We'll have to start having guests on to fill in the time that we would otherwise speak about bare bestiality.
I think so, and it opens the door to Taco Bell, who has yet to accept our invitation.
To become a sponsor.
Become a sponsor. Rude. We'll even guest spot you. We'll let someone go. Whoever's running your Twitter, you can come on here.
Yes, the Australian Twitter. They can even come around.
You can feed us a direct script.
I will sell myself a Taco Bell. You know this very well. I was talking to the Taco Bell guy on Twitter actually because they've opened a new restaurant in Ipswich.
I was
still in Queensland.
Yeah.
And I sort of had a few wines and texted them. When's my Sydney restaurant coming? And they responded back, so we'll tell you as soon as they're coming. It's okay. I was like, oh, hurry up, honey. In my country, right?
Oh,
give it to me now.
Oh boy. How long have we been recording? I gotta remember
we wasted a lot of time with technical issues, so this is gonna be the longest episode ever.
Because Mary won't fix things in post. Okay. Let's see. What else did Closeted in Canada give us? Here we go. Today's Catholic fun fact.
Yay!
There are three saints who are patron saints of comedians, but only one for undertakers. I assume she would like Claire to comment on this.
It's because they run out of things. And it always has to be in some way related to their saintly story.
Now I'm curious about the three patron saints of comedians.
Yeah, I don't know what
I'm looking that up too.
Yeah, I don't know what all the patron saints are, but like, it always has to be related in some way to their saintly story. Like, one everyone knows is Saint Francis and animals. Yeah. Or the example so I like to use is Saint Clair is the patron saint of TVs. because she had she had like visions that were supposed to have been like projected on her like nunnery cell wall or whatever, kind of like a TV. And so she's the patron saint of TVs. So sometimes they overlap.
Okay, I have to mention. Okay, so I typed into Google who's the patron saint of comedians, and it's Genesius. I think he's of Rome, so it would be Genesius. It's considered the patron saint of actors, lawyers, barristers, clowns, comedians, converts. It gets so much better. Dancers, people with epilepsy, musicians, printers, stenographers, and victims of torture. I like the fact that he's doubling up for comedians and victims of torture.
Oh yeah, they like they range wildly.
Clowns and victims of torture are both encompassed in that.
And barristers and lawyers, and I mean printers. I mean, if he's the patron saint of printers, he must get so many fucking prayers. Because printers are actually not. They are satanic. Printers are from the devil.
Well, I mean, I assume it means, like, people with printing presses. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Possibly. Okay, but now I like it. But I like it better if it's
translated into the modern era, we all know that printers are evil.
I mean, it might also be printers, because it, like, I mean, it's not like TVs were around when St. Clair was around.
Yeah,
no, that's what I mean. I'm like, thinking, it's probably evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patron saint of inkjet. I just like.
Oh Lord, please replace the ink. Oh Lord, I do not have money
for. You know what? I'm not going to get into this conversation. Because I was like, I wonder if you could bless the printer ink to be in the same way that you bless sacramental wine.
Yes.
Anyway,
presumably then you have to
what?
But wouldn't you then have to drink it? I don't know. Catholic Claire? Catholic Claire. Yeah. Put
on my Catholic hat.
Catholic hat on.
My Pope miter.
Put your Pope hat on.
Your stole and your collar. Now I forgot what I was going to ask.
Can you transubstantiate printer ink like you can wine?
I mean, I would have to assume so, because it's all about changing the substance and not the matter. But I mean, it has to be a priest, and I don't think any priest would do it. Like,
no priest
in emergency situations, a non-priest person can bless water to emergency baptize someone, but I don't believe you can emergency transubstantiate.
Emergency trans. That sounds like a spell in Pathfinder. Emergency. I remember what I was going to ask. Isn't it a sin to pour the sacramental wine out, like waste
it. Yeah, it has to be like at the end of mass, any wine that hasn't been consumed during the mass, the priest will chug it down.
Yes.
You literally watch them to like wash it down.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, like the host they can save, so they'll put that back in the tabernacle, but the wine they just whoop.
Oh man, does that mean that end of the month mass, you've got really stale biscuits?
I mean, to be fair, they already taste, yeah, like little wafers of styrofoam. But
yeah, it's like it's almost like a rice cake. If a rice cake could dissolve and adhere to the exact
the top of your mouth, yeah,
your tongue and top of your mouth, like
yeah. But I mean, they do try to portion them out appropriate for how much they think people are. So it's not just like one huge amount at the start of the month.
I'm imagining supermarket bulk bins where you've got the little shovel. Get some more host. It's 99 cents a pound.
Oh, I mean, they probably do have like bulk vendors for that shit.
You can
like,
buy it on Amazon. I mean, it's not blast, obviously.
Yeah, it's nothing. But I mean, I guess if you're non-Catholic, then it doesn't matter.
I mean, for my heretical cult following, like, it suits my needs.
Yeah, you need to get those little travel cup ones.
I love those so much. I want them. That was so funny.
Amazing.
for all your cult establishing needs.
I mean, I suppose if you were like less than, I mean, if you've got a good rapport with the priest and you're a Eucharistic minister, I know at the very least sometimes you can bring it home. Because it's supposed to be to, like, bring it to the, like, to minister to the homebound and stuff. But my grandma totally did this all the time for, like, Easter and stuff. Would be like, and here you go, guys. Here's some, like, fucking actual consecrated shit.
Here's some Jesus. Take
yeah,
your Jesus home.
In a little baggie. Here you go.
A doggy bag of Jesus.
Yeah, it was always in, like, a little plastic bag, which was great.
Oh. You gotta go feed it to the ducks. Go feed it to the ducks so they'd be blessed. Bless the ducks.
I just can't get past and I mean, I've known this for a long time that the priest drinks the rest of whatever's left over, but now I can't get past the backwash.
I mean, that's like, literally everyone going after like the first few. Then
I know.
Everyone's
the
getting
sacramental
more backwash.
That's I never knew why my grandfather was so insistent to be first in line. He was up out of the pew before the invitation.
Don't they give you little individual paper cups?
No.
This
sounds very unhygienic. This sounds very unhygienic.
No, that's they're
Protestant.
Literally they're in little chalices and
they're in a chalice and somebody politely wipes the chalice before each.
Yeah,
they
politely
sip.
Wipe the yeah, and hand it over to you. There's usually it depends on how
it's
many people are in
the
church,
on
but yeah, there's usually a few.
That's
I mean, some people don't even take it, which always seems a little sketchy to me, but whatever.
Whatever.
There's also the people that will only take the Eucharist, like, they will not touch it with their hands, they only take it by the mouth, and that always seems weird to me.
Oh, the church I
like,
went
it's supposed
to
be the more fancy way, and I just, I, yeah, no.
The
I feel bad
I
for
to,
the Eucharistic minister, like, I don't want someone having to, like, stick something onto my tongue. It's like,
yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, the one I went to, you weren't allowed to touch it. You had to have the person offering it.
Yeah, that's how
it
used to be.
And tip the cup to you. Like, I've never had it any other way.
No, that's how
I
it
mean, just
like,
on a basic level of creepy. That's just, like, the whole thing is just real creepy, guys. You're a cult.
Oh, we
whatever.
Know
people
that.
Have been saying this since, like, Roman times. So, I mean, it's nothing new.
No.
Oh, speaking of doggy bags, no, I'm kidding. Closet and camera.
So all I have in my refrigerator is some wine, some bread.
Some wine and some
or
bread.
Or better yet, I've got some water.
I've got some Jesus in my fridge. What am I having
I've
for
got
dinner?
Some
no,
water,
kidding.
I have some loaves of bread, and I have some fish. What can I do?
Closet in Canada says, have I eaten today? Probably not. But what am I having for dinner? I have tomato sauce, eggs, and rice, but I have no tortillas. I actually don't care much for tortillas. Why are we still letting
this Canada?
Why are we still letting her
high
listen?
Five, Canada.
Oh.
High five, Canada. I don't much like them either.
They're so good.
They're so good. They're so versatile and useful.
I know.
They're boring. Sorry.
Then you're not putting the right things inside them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I've got... Yeah. I haven't got anything. So eggs and tomato sauce and rice.
I mean, like
fried rice.
Fried rice.
Yeah.
Tomato fried rice.
Yeah.
That sounds gross.
Yeah.
Honestly, tomato fried rice.
I'm sorry. This is not going to be a nice dinner.
Oh yeah, it's not going to be great.
Like, you can cook it. You're not going to enjoy it, but you can cook it.
I mean, oh no. There's. Oh, I don't remember what it's called, but there's a Japanese dish. It's literally you. Make some rice and you make like an omelet that you put over you just make some make
oh, yeah,
egg
yeah.
omelet and then you put ketchup on it so
yeah basically
yeah it's like egg sushi
yeah it's not bad it's I mean it's not great but it's not bad
I mean you absolutely
it'd be better with
this
egg sushi
this one
with
one of my friends his wife this was the meal he served her the first time he cooked for her was some fucking ketchup rice.
I mean, you could do that here. You could make something akin to musubi like that.
Yes.
With egg and rice. But, I mean, if you don't have tortillas, I'm going to assume you don't have seaweed. So.
Yeah, seaweed's one of those pantry items that a lot of people have. I think I've still got, I wonder if I've got, because I've got spam. I could make wasabi today.
Ooh.
Nice. musubi.
Oh, musubi. That would be so mean. Me'd make musubi because, oh my god, my husband is doing a keto diet.
And he's not allowed it. Oh, was it? But if that's, oh, I suppose there's too many carbs in the rice, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He can't have rice. Yeah. And I don't know that there's a way to substitute
omu
that
rice. That's
riced cauliflower into a musubi situation.
It's like all of the things that you could make into a rice shape are carb. Yeah. Like you can't do anything. It's a carb thing. You can't make rice out of potatoes have got carbs, so no, you can't do that either. Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently cauliflower is the universal substitute for everything, and I disagree with this on such a spiritual level.
Do you not like cauliflower?
No. Oh.
I love cauliflower. Oh. I don't accept it. It's so not good. Really a To me, it's not really a replacement. It's just I really like cauliflower, so I'll eat it. I'll eat it riced. I'll eat it mashed. I'll eat it.
Yeah, whatever. I can eat like the florets, like the heads off it and stuff. But I don't like the stems. I'll only eat the head off it, and only if I can like dip it in something. Like it's a vehicle for ranch dressing, essentially.
It does go very well with ranch dressing. But the
and I only eat it big, raw.
You eat cauliflower raw?
Yeah, I only eat it raw.
No wonder you don't like it. No, there's a big A big thing at the moment in Sydney.
Oh, I love it raw. Like, I love it always.
Replacing meat with cauliflower.
Oh, I hate that. I did find a recipe lately for cauliflower steaks. If it's a vegetable and you're cutting it up and frying it, that does not make it a steak.
But it's actually been, because they usually serve it with like really thick, tasty hummus and stuff like that as well. So it's really nice. And if you bake it so it goes brown on the outside and tender on the inside, and then you pour heaps and heaps of fatty fiddle over it, it's great. Anyway, I love it. Ghost broccoli. I am standing for ghost broccoli on this podcast.
I love cauliflower. Oh, one place does fried cauliflower. It's so good.
Deep fried cauliflower is really good.
Once it's cooked, the smell just really gets me and I can't deal with it.
It is a very strong smell.
Yeah, but when it's raw, it doesn't have that smell, so I can totally eat it raw. But I'm not. Okay. But no one in the world is going to convince me that it's a substitute for rice or bread.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a good substitute. I just like it on its own.
Yeah. So.
I love all broccoli, like broccoli, cauliflower.
I'm going to wind up making that fake mashed potato crap out of cauliflower eventually. Just because.
To satisfy your husband's needs.
Just to satisfy my husband's needs, and out of like probably some kind of morbid curiosity. So in the event that happens, because I am not an adventurous eater, I will report back.
My sister, who as you know is very big on trying to make healthy food, often puts cauliflower in the mashed potato. And look, much as I love cauliflower, no.
Oh yeah, it's totally not a replacement, especially for potato, which is God's own.
Right?
The best vegetable.
The best vegetable.
Objectively, the best vegetable.
Yeah, but like, I like it.
Hey, we finally agree on something. Woo!
It was bound to happen eventually.
Oh, I don't know.
It was bound to happen beyond two things Anders is right eventually.
Was right, yeah. Yeah.
Anders was number right. One, Anders is right. Number two, potatoes are best.
Potatoes are the best. We can refound our church now. The schism has healed.
We have been joined together under potato.
Let us give thanks.
Oh my god, I wish I had a picture of the Jesus potato. Damn it.
Oh man.
When me and Travis were on our honeymoon, we went to Burger King a lot because we didn't have any fucking money. And there were some French fries that were stuck together in the shape of a cross, and we're like, Jesus potato.
Excellent. Yay. I'm sure, you know what, I bet you any fucking money if I type in Jesus potato on Google, I will get something.
Oh, I bet anything there's one with his face on it or something.
Oh, there's lots of faces. I want an actual potato. I want an actual potato. Come on, you guys. That's not fair.
Oh, there's just that one painting.
Yeah, Mr. Potato Head that's dressed up as Jesus, which is kind of cute.
I kind of dig that. Like, that's just heretical enough for my taste.
Oh, I'll take this one. They cut it open and it's got a cross inside.
Yeah, it just feels like my brand, like Mr. Potato Head, but Jesus. At least he's the right color.
Oh, okay. No.
Now that we've repaired the schism, Tom on Twitter wants to know, is Sunday the first day of the week or Monday?
Monday.
Sunday.
Why? No, because Sunday's... Hey, I thought you were the religious one. It's the seventh day. Sunday is the seventh day.
Saturday's
Yeah, but that's also
day.
Why it's day number one. Every day every week starts with Jesus images.
Oh, okay. I thought, but the Sunday, on the seventh day he rested, and that was Sunday.
Yeah,
no, it was
but
Saturday.
We...
I don't know
Sunday is, that's why Easter's always celebrated on a Sunday, because it's...
Was the Sunday
Jesus
thing,
returns.
Like, yeah, was the Sunday thing Jesus specific?
Yeah, it's Jesus
specific.
Yeah, okay.
Because the Sabbath is actually Saturday, which is the
seventh Saturday,
day.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I'm just ignorant, that's all
right. Well, we knew that.
My work week starts on Monday, so it's Monday for me.
I have no work week. So.
We make our own work
really
week.
I don't have a work week,
Yeah, so by this my week starts on Tuesday, sometimes now Thursday, because that's when we podcast.
Depending on when
that's
we get
the closest I get to work.
I've had such chronic migraines lately, like time has no meaning anymore.
At school holidays.
Oh yeah, I usually
no
keep
anymore.
Track of days based on like when Travis is at work, so when he's off during the summer for some months, I'm always like, what the fuck day is it?
Yeah, 4th of July weekend really throws me off because it's a 5-day weekend for us, and a lot of times, and like I had no concept of what day it was whenever, and finally my husband goes back to work and I'm like, wait, why? What's going on?
We have like garbage collection night is Monday night. So whenever there's a public holiday, we forget.
Oh yeah, I hate that. That is the worst thing. I'll put out the garbage, and then I'm like, oh no, they're not taking it today. Or I'll think that they're not taking it, but then it's not a holiday that
they
pay attention to. And
they never, like the garbage men never have a day off.
No.
Like, see, ours do, but only sometimes. Sometimes it's not a holiday that's major enough that they take it off, and so then like we are like, okay, well, put the trash out tomorrow, and then it's like, no, it was today.
Yeah, no, they don't. They never ever change the routine here. It's like these guys work on Christmas Day every day.
Well, it's
because
like, you guys.
I love my garbage guys so much. They are such good, cool, awesome dudes who don't mind me running out at 6 o'clock in the morning when I hear the truck. Please come back.
I didn't know. Please come back. When I was little that garbage truck service was something that you pay for. I just
taxes.
Yeah, I just well, you have to like when I was little and growing up, you had to like order garbage service or something like that. I don't know. Anyway,
is that from
when I was
where you in the res?
Yeah,
or?
Back just off the res.
Yeah,
where my dad
that
lived.
That
and so
that makes sense.
The garbage truck that would come around weekly would come up and back into my dad's driveway and then use the yard to turn around in. So they could go there because all the roads are dirt and there was no way it was going to make it up the hill. So it just turned around and went the other way. And my dad was sleeping and our garbage was full. So I just bagged it up and ran outside in my nightgown. I was like, here you go. And they just took it. And my dad laughed so hard when I told him the story. He's like, we don't have garbage service. he's like, but I suppose that's the tax they can pay for backing up in my yard every day. But they were so
nice. Oh, it's nice of them to take it.
Yeah, it was so nice. It was just one drawstring bag. I just ran out my strawberry shortcake nightgown. I was like, hi, here, sorry, we didn't get it out.
Oh, how cute. I think, I was going to say something about garbage.
Oh, no,
it was probably garbage.
We used burn barrels for the longest time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, again, that's not surprising. I think that in rural areas, they do have garbage services, but they come much less frequently.
Yeah.
So you end up having to keep it for a while or find some other way to get rid of it. But we're not allowed to do burning because if we did that, the entire country would burn to the ground. in a matter of seconds. You're not allowed to have anything that makes fire anywhere near anything that is vaguely flammable at any time.
Smoking must be a blast in Australia.
Oh, no one, you know what's really interesting? No one smokes here anymore. No one. It's like, it's full on. If you see someone on the street smoking a cigarette, it's really, really, like, it's a shock. When we were in Italy, because everyone smokes in Italy all the time. Everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
and we're like, what the hell? And I remember that when we first went to Spain as well, we were hanging out trying to get into the Alhambra. which is a big, you know, Moorish palace in the south of Spain. And we were just waiting in line to get tickets, and everyone was smoking. And I had been living in Australia, obviously, for most of my life. And I think by the time I was about 25, because I gave up smoking when I was 25, because I smoked to be cool, as you do. And I gave it up because everyone around me didn't smoke, so I used to have to go outside and be on my own. I had to be a social pariah. So I gave it up. And then realised that it was nice to be able to breathe and walk and stuff.
I can't even imagine smoking while having asthma.
as we've mentioned many times before, my life is a constant list of bad decisions. Right up to the point where I met my husband, who was quite nice. But yeah, smoking doesn't happen very much here, and if it does, then people are very careful about not chucking their butts. Although pretty much every time bushfire season starts, it's because some idiot has thrown a butt in a pile of dried leaves in a forest.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what happens here too.
Yeah, it's all smokers. It's all their fault.
Yeah, I think there was something about, like, you know, for all the hubbub people have made about straws in the ocean, I think there was, like, way more cigarette butts.
Cigarette butts are, like, the biggest, like, why do people not complain about this more? Like, I never hear...
It drives me bonkers whenever, like, I see someone driving and they just whoop, and I'm like, no!
It's the only part of the cigarette that is not biodegradable. Like,
like, yeah, otherwise you would inhale it.
Yeah. Obviously. Like, the butt is the one part. And, you know, and this is something... Here's my salty Indian coming out. When I lived on the res, like, most of my friends who smoked would, like, twist the end of their cigarette off when they were finished with it, sprinkle the tobacco on the ground, and then put the butt in their pocket or in a plastic baggie or something so that they would take it home. Because we were respectful of the land, okay?
Yeah.
So.
I used to smoke roll my own.
Yeah.
As well, so there was no butt.
Nice.
Just a soggy bit of paper. Yeah.
They also sold some kind of, what was it? It was like Native, it had an Indian and a headdress on the box. It was like some Native American marketing cigarette that didn't have a filter. And I always just thought that was so weird.
Yeah, no, I think, God, now I kind of want a cigarette.
No, we're being a bad influence on you.
You guys, like, aren't actually spend it. It's an hour a day, an hour every week I spend not doing self-destructive things.
That's the best time of the day for Imogen.
Sorry, your hands and your mouth are occupied. You cannot hurt yourself at the moment.
Tom on Twitter wants to know, what is the first thing you would bring on a journey to Mars?
My computer.
Obviously, a bag of shit and a potato.
Yes. You make your own shit.
Well, I don't want to have to wait until I can shit enough to grow potatoes to start growing potatoes.
I mean, you're going all the way to fucking Mars. You'll be shitting plenty. By the time you get there, you'll have plenty of potatoes growing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
You have to check the potatoes and make sure they've got eyes, otherwise they won't grow.
I too aspire to be the best botanist on Mars.
I love that film. It's such a good one. I would take my Kindle, probably. Just something to read.
That's valid.
Yeah, that's why I'd take my computer. I can have music on there. I can have something to read on there. I can write. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
There's no point in having the computer if there's no internet, Claire.
You do know I can download things onto my computer, and it has a much larger hard drive than a Kindle does.
Yeah, I think I would take a tablet, because, you know, it's got, like, Kindle in it. And I can also take pictures.
I literally have a Kindle app on my computer.
Like,
yeah, no, I just take my phone.
I'm not going to go to Mars and not take pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, we're laughing about it, but yeah, you know, I would take my phone, and it wouldn't be because... But except that, no, again, look, can I take the internet?
Ooh, is that an option?
Is that possible?
I mean, yeah. I think you can internet. In Europe. There's probably some regulation.
I mean, that's when
here.
You just make sure they launch some satellites out ahead of you, so you've got uninterrupted internet the whole way there.
What would you take to Mars? ADSL. That's what I'm going to take to Mars. I'm going to take an ADSL connection to Mars and my phone.
Well, I mean,
I'm done.
The moon
I'm
is
fine.
Part of Mars, so we could just put an internet hub on the moon.
Yeah.
It's going to bring a good enough router and you'll be fine. Oh my God. I mean, because, yeah, all of the problems that the guy on Mars in, I can't remember what his name is in the book, in the film.
No, I can't remember.
Whatever his name is.
No.
Well, I can't even remember what the name of the actor is, which is bad.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, yeah. We'll just call him Matt Damon because it's easier. All of the problems that Matt Damon had on Mars could have been fixed if he had the internet, because he could have just looked up how to make it.
Well, see, that's the
would've
thing.
Known.
He knew because he was a botanist.
Yeah. Yeah.
He already knew ahead of time.
He wouldn't have had to know if he wasn't.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and we're all useless and don't have that knowledge.
Yeah, regular Jill
six
pack.
So I need the internet, yeah.
Regular Jill six pack, you know, on Mars would need the internet, and she could survive if she had it with Yahoo Answers. Mm. Or Quora.
That's right, yeah.
Yahoo Answers
will help. God.
No, I have a dark confession for you guys. Like, I subscribe to a porn newsletter just because I like to, like, look at the people who ask ridiculous questions and then see all the people that mock them.
You know, I think it's been done on other podcasts, but you could potentially read some of those out for us.
Oh, I absolutely am willing to.
Put that subscription to good use.
Yeah. I signed up for it for a very less than charitable reason. So I get a lot of questions about how do you deal with narcissists, but there's some really quality parenting and relationship advice questions that come through, and I'm just like, oh, I gotta click through and see how they drag this one.
oh god. I went on to Yahoo Answers for reasons that people would probably be able to deduce at one point. And just I got about three pages in and went, no, my life's worth more than this. I may have low self-esteem, but it's not that low. I don't want to be here anymore.
I don't trust Yahoo Answers because the best answer is always something that's been upvoted by the masses. Like, that doesn't make it true.
Advice by consensus does not work.
No. Especially like when you see things.
Especially when it's consensus of a bunch of idiots.
Yes.
Like people doing YouTube makeup tutorials and they're like, mix lemon juice and sugar together and scrub it on your face as an exfoliator. No, don't do that.
Oh yeah, don't burn your cheeks to get permanent blush. Oh my god.
Oh my god, you brought that back up and now I can see
I
it.
Did.
I can't even bring myself to say Imogen, link to that on the Patreon. No. Oh boy. How are we doing for time? Oh, we're good.
We're going to go about five minutes.
Yeah, we've got some empty space there.
Let's see what else we got here. Oh, Closet Canada actually asked for advice. How to deal with people who say they will be there at a time and then very much are not there at that time.
Yeah, Imogen.
Closet
how
Canada,
do
just
you
at me
deal?
Next time.
No, I was just saying, would you like to hear how my husband deals with it? Because he will deliberately tell me we have to be somewhere a half hour before we do.
Yeah, but sometimes people, you tell when exactly you're going to be there and they don't show up at all for another like 5 hours or something.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, just at me next time. I know.
Okay, so that one didn't take up as much time as I was hoping.
we're going to have a big, because I just went, yeah, I'm sorry. as opposed to getting all indignant about it. No,
yeah,
sorry,
but legitimately, yes, the whole just tell them earlier. Is pretty much the best advice for that.
I mean,
it does. It does preclude that they actually remember that it's the right day.
Yeah.
It's something I do to myself, honestly, like when I put appointments in my phone so that I get reminders because I'll forget to show up places.
I'll make sure to do it a half an hour ahead of time.
I'll put it in anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. It depends on what I'm planning on doing that day, too. Like, if I'm playing some video game or something, I'm like, okay, I know I won't stop when I so.
But I mix it up because I can't trust myself to not be, oh, no, because I know I put that in 30 minutes early. Because maybe I didn't.
I made a mistake of putting in a kid's birthday party at half an hour early and just assuming that it was, I don't know, whatever happened, I ended up turning up 2 hours late because I put in half an hour early and just decided that I was wrong. And yeah, I don't know. Time is a concept that has very little meaning to me.
Yeah, see, I'm always painfully on time / early, so. Unless it's an appointment like I need to get to, like a doctor or something, then I'm running at the last possible minute. But if it's just to meet up with people, I'm like, they're 15 minutes early.
Oh my god. Not to derail, I just got a text from my husband. So someone hacked his Pizza Hut account.
What?
He has a Pizza Hut account?
Well, we order pizza online. Then you don't have to use the phone and talk to a person, and they just deliver it.
Yeah, and you can get, like with Domino's, I know you can earn free pizzas and shit.
Yeah. We have like, a Domino's, and we have a Pizza Hut account, and a couple others locally. But someone hacked into it. And then immediately tried to change the email. So I just want Emily Jones to know you're going down.
Put on blast.
Emily
Who
Jones
hacks
on
a fucking
blast.
Pizza Hut account, though? Jesus.
Now, to her credit, Emily Jones did not immediately order $1,000 worth of pizza. So that's good.
This is something that baffles me, because if you did, like, what's the benefit to hacking a pizza account? Because, like, literally, unless you just want one pizza, there's no point. I'm not going to order 1,000 pizzas.
Well, our card is saved, and I actually don't know how that's going to work, because, like, it's saved and our delivery location is saved. Like, everything's saved locally.
Yeah.
We don't have our card saved on ours.
I think our card
If they did order 1,000 pizzas. 1,000 pieces that would turn up, they'd turn up to your house.
Maybe, I don't know. They immediately tried to change the email on the account. But of course the email went to the old email first, and that's when my husband found it. So I don't know who you are, Emily Jones. You're going down.
So there's Pizza Hut. Does Pizza Hut employ like a white hat hacker to stop this sort of stuff? Could you be like a Pizza Hut white hat hacker? What do you do for a living? I'm a Pizza Hut.
now I have to wonder. And here's another one. I'll put this up on the Facebook and the Twitter. Like, what's the weirdest spam or hacking mishap that's happened to you? Like, what's the most noteworthy, funny, amusing story that you can give? Because today I got a spam account, or I got a spam email offering me dates with hot Victorians. A hot Victorians dating service. Like, I deleted it. I wish I would have kept it.
I should have kept it, because I'm like, are you talking about hot Victorians as in the
Australian Victorians
state of Victoria, or hot Victorians as hot women and men from the Victorian era?
That's what I want to know. And I didn't even think about it until I deleted it, and it's gone now.
Because if it was the first, then cool. I know a lot of hot Victorians. They're quite cool. But if it was the second, yeah, please.
I know.
Give me a fine dandy looking guy. Yeah. Give me an Oscar Wilde.
I get a lot of wild spam now, and like, I've had a real uptick in it recently, which makes me wonder if, like, I've made some enemies.
I think the funniest I got was way back in the day. It was a phone call. It was one of those fucking scammer phone calls when I was a fucking teenager, and they were like, you have won a cruise for blah blah blah, and we need your credit card number. It's like, I am 15 years old. Goodbye.
Oh, I get some wild ones now, and like one of the more clever things that's come through, and I can only assume it's because I send a lot of email to someone named Imogen, is that the email comes through as Inogen.
Oh yeah. I think I've gotten a couple from Inogen.
Yeah. But I get a lot of dating websites and cam girl spam emails.
See, I never I don't think I ever look into my spam because Google's really good about.
Yeah, I just open it up to delete them and just to check and make sure that like some of the places.
Yeah, I just let it delete itself. I'm too lazy.
When I'm waiting on story submissions and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always good when you're waiting on certain things to.
But so I've just gotten some wild ones lately.
Yeah, with me, it's like because I have like I've had my email for so long and I've signed up for so many things, I get so many so I actually go through because some of them are actually important and I need to keep them, but I don't want the notification because as soon as I see a notification, I go maybe it's a story thing and I need to find it. So I click back, and if it's something like a subscribe newsletter or whatever, I go and I get really angry. So every time I see a new email that isn't an email I want, I go into the filter section and filter it to go to spam or to be marked.
Google has just
so
decided all of Twitter
inbox.
Is spam, which is hilarious to me. I was like, what is in my spam? Okay.
I think my favorite one that I'm getting right now is like, and this is actually very clever. I get a lot of them that say unsubscribe, and then it'll like say, Oyang 42, we need you to click here to confirm your unsubscription.
I'm like, nope. I'm like, that's going to spam.
I mean, that's actually, I gotta give props to that one, but
yep.
Oh, the funniest was when Facebook had the problem of like they would let people use pictures for their advertising. So Travis would got one that was like hot locals in your area, and had my picture telling him to look for.
Nice.
Well, just so everyone knows.
She is a hot local. She's right next to me.
All right, let's see. My spam currently in Yahoo, though, is let's get a little closer tonight.
Apparently there are hot Victorians waiting to get with me.
As long as I don't mind a 10-hour flight, that's cool. That's good. It's more than 10 hours from Melbourne. It'd be 11 hours from Melbourne.
But now I want to... Now I'm wondering... What, like, a Victorian era's dating service would be like.
That would be so good.
Hot Victorians, flashes of color.
Yeah, willing to show ankle.
There might be a glimpse of shoulder. So yeah, that's what I want to hear from our listeners this week. Tell us your weirdest spam email or hacked account story, and you can send that to bibibicast@gmail.com.
Alternatively, if you would like to regale me with a good story on what you think Victorian dating service would be like, go to bibibicast.tumblr.com and you can leave anon or not. Just let us know how you'd like to be addressed. And there's also links to the Twitter and the Facebook and the Patreon and all that jazz.
And if you do have a couple of moments spare, give us a rating and a review on iTunes. We haven't really been pushing for that lately because I was at a point where I wasn't sure I wanted anyone to listen to the podcast. But right now, I'm actually kind of proud of us. I think we're doing well. Yeah. We're nearly at 50 episodes. It would be really nice if we got a few reviews and stuff when the celebrations for 50 episodes start.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever they are. There's like hundreds of them out there. And we'll see you all next week. It's been a pleasure, as always. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
We're so professional.
We are.
48. Are we on 40? It's 48 this week, isn't it? We've got two more episodes to get our shit together, girl.
Two more episodes to get our shit together.
Before I start deleting the old ones. to try and cover our horrific audio faux pas.